big warm welcome to you. I'm Lana, joining you along with two very nice guys from Poland. We'll start off talking about Slavic paganism and what it means to be a pagan. And then we transition into talking about politics in Poland. Just how based is Poland? Stick around and find out. Bartek and Aspire, welcome to the program. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us. What an honor and pleasure.
Yes, hello guys. It's an honor to be here.
It's great to finally have some people in Poland because I don't think I've ever had anyone from Poland on yet. Not very many come our way from Poland. I think mostly because of, is it a language barrier? Do a lot of people speak English in Poland?
Yes, I think a lot of people speak English here. So this have to be a kind of accident that you didn't have Polish people until now.
There might be some generational differences.
Yeah? What do you mean?
I would argue that mostly the young people speak English here.
Yes, this is true, but this is because we learn English at the primary school and in the high school as the second language. So most of the young people are able to say some words in English.
But certainly our presence is long overdue.
Yeah, definitely.
At least Polish presence is long overdue.
Yes. Yeah, and we're definitely going to talk all about Poland because a lot of Americans, American nationalists look to Poland. They say, based Poland, you know, it's a model we should look after. So we're going to get into that. But first, Aspire, I want to ask you, because you don't sound Polish, so people will say, well, where's he from? So tell us where you're from.
Yeah, well, I get it a lot. Yeah, what are you doing here in Poland? Well, I was born in California, and I moved out here from Portland, Oregon, the hub of liberalism and progressives, but I came out here to connect with my family roots, and
so how Polish are you? I have some Polish too, mostly Russian, but I do have some Polish from my grandmother too.
Yeah, it's from my mother's side. My great-grandfather moved to the United States and I think it was just after World War One, and opened up a drugstore there. But unfortunately, he met an untimely end as he was robbed and shot.
Ugh.
And unfortunately did not survive the incident.
Yikes.
I think that was in, was that Illinois? I'm not quite sure where that
Chicago.
Was.
Chicago? Yeah, great place. Yeah. Great place to live these days. Now, was it tough for you to get into Poland, being an American?
It was a bit of a hassle, but no, I wouldn't say that the hurdles were too high. Just a lot of documents gathering and making sure to get into the only consulate on the West Coast, which was located in Los Angeles. So I had to fly from Oregon to California in order to get my paperwork all in order. But what really opened up the avenue to get here is that I am a student, and I had been hearing rumors about Americans being accepted into universities to study for free, and that would be really great. So I was trying to research different countries where my family roots are from, the UK and Germany, and here in Poland. And the UK, well, it was just obscenely expensive. And Germany, I'm not quite fluent in German yet. And then Poland, the courses were taught in English, or are taught in English, and quite reasonably priced.
Great. Well, we'll get into more later, but Bartek, obviously, we need to address you. And you have a flag behind you, or emblem behind you, of your pagan group. So why don't you give people an introduction, pronounce it for us also.
Okay, I am the co-founder and the priest, we can use this word, of the pagan Polish group, which is called Biała Żar. The flag behind me contains its symbol. And our group is focused on the, of course, the Slavic paganism itself, which we understand in the ethnic way and, of course, in the tasty way. We are quite a new group, more than the half of a year. But we have been involved in paganism quite more time than this. So we are quite a new group, but we are growing, and this gives me some kind of satisfaction. We are mostly located in Warsaw, but of course we are not limited to this city. So this is the brief introduction.
Would you like us to get the symbol in frame?
Yeah, sure, let's do it. Tell us about it and the name, what it means.
Okay, so the meaning of this name, this is the mosaic of different meaning. First of all, the Białożar, this is the concatenation of two Polish words, Biały and Żar, which means literally white fire or white ember. And the other meaning of this word is there are sources which used this word as a neologism during created in the 20th century poetry. It was used in the context which meant a white storm or the blizzard or a snow storm. Also, there's another source which probably cannot be trusted, but nevertheless, it says the Białożar, this is the mythological Slavic being, which is the giant bird from the Polish land. So it is those meaning combines together, creates some poetry and symbolic mosaic of different meaning. So this is why we choose this name, because there's also one more meaning which explains the falcon, which you can see in our logo, because there is the similar word in Polish, the word Białozur, which is the white falcon. So because it is phonetically similar, we also include this to be a part of the meaning of this word. So we chose this name because there are a lot of different meanings which connect.
Yeah, makes me think of a phoenix from the ashes, right? Rising from the ashes.
Yes, this is a quite new interpretation for me, but I can buy it.
Now, what are some of the goals you have of the group?
We want to spread the paganism, and our interpretation of this, because there are different approaches to the paganism. The ethnic approach is one of many, but it's quite popular, but it's not the only one. So. Also, our approach is theistic, of course. So we want to establish a group which will be growing in numbers, which will spread the faith of our ancestors, and which create an opportunity for people to connect with their ancestors' heritage.
Now, a lot of people say paganism. Well, pagan, what does it mean to be a pagan? I know a lot of people get confused about that. Mm-hmm. So how would you guys summarize what does it mean to be a pagan?
This is quite a wide topic, as this is obvious. But if we can grasp some most important things regarding the paganist, I would say that this is the first of all, this is the polytheistic system of beliefs. We believe in gods. Some people quite often refer to gods as the only archetypical beings, which we think shouldn't be accepted on the level. I mean that it can be accepted, but it shouldn't be. The paganism cannot be limited only to this approach, because our ancestors believe in the gods as the real personal beings, and this is what we are cultivating. Polytheism. Another trait of paganism. What makes it different from the other religion people of the European descent used to know. for example, in my opinion, one of the most important traits of this religion is that this paganism is cosmocentric religion. And what does it mean? It means that the ontological central of the world is not a god or a gods itself, but this is the phenomenon of the cosmos itself, the everything which we can think of, the material universe and the other things, maybe the spiritual, which we assume to be exist, to exist. And this is one of the most important foundation of the paganism, because it leads to the various number of consequences. It shaped the worldview of the pagans, and this is it is quite different than, for example, from the monotheistic point of view, which are theocentric. So in theocentric approaches, in theocentric religions such as Christianity or Islam, the God is the center of everything. Everything emerges from God. So it leads to the number of consequences. For example, the God have to be omnipotent because he have created the world. In theistic approach, gods hold every power which he can have toward the human.
I think it would be good to clarify too, you know, we hear a lot about Slavic gods, Norse gods, kind of, where did they come from? Do you think they were real people? Are they deities? Are they archetypes? Do mm-hmm. people worship them? What can you guys say about the Slavic gods and paganism?
I certainly agree that it's more of an archetype, but specifically related to the perhaps racial heritage of a people that arose uniquely amongst each group of people. But I don't have quite an anthropological answer for this. Yeah, I can't really go further.
The ethnic... ethnicity is, of course, important in this matter, but there's some this trait of the religion is called natural religion. The paganism is not a religion which was created or by the revelations of an
right.
Prophet.
It was something that arose naturally.
Yes,
I mean, it is
yes.
Our connection with our ancestors and with nature, and it just it's really to me it's a natural balance. It encourages natural balance between humanity and the world in which we exist. Honoring our ancestors, remembering our ancestors, honoring nature, and being the stewards of nature.
Yeah, it's interesting how you mentioned exactly these are stories within paganism that were passed down through our ancestors, and even talks of deities and who the gods and goddesses were, versus, you know, some strange guy in the desert who apparently God came to and told him all the
right.
stuff, right, that we're supposed to believe. Yeah.
And this Abrahamic belief system that demands that we are all servants to this, I would say, alien god, compared to the gods of our ancestors, which could be indeed interpreted as possibly one of our own family members from times long past, who was given this, who was risen to this level, possibly through storytelling and evolution of society, I guess one could say.
Now, Bartek, what can you say about some of the, you know, pagan ethics and values? Because a lot of times people think that pagans just had no values. They were just these crazy brutes, you know, they didn't respect anyone. What can you say mm-hmm. about that? Some of the ethics and values.
Of course, there is something as ethics in paganism, but in contradiction to, for example, the Christianity, this is not based on the absolute ideas of good and evil, but I would say that this is rather honor-based ethics. So we try to reflect the worldview which was held by our ancestors, and we believe that because it helped them to survive from the for a thousand of years in past times, it can be also applied in the present times, of course, to some extent. So those value can be like, for example, our group is defining those values as, for example, the honor, the wisdom, the helping the people in needs, the hospitality, the strength of body and strength of mind, etc. So the ethics of paganism is not based on commandments. So this could lead to different number of confusions, because some people used to have an ethics in form of commandments on the strict commandments which people need to obey. But we rather want to focus on some value which should be treated as something we should struggle. It should be our guidance, not as the it should be our guidance in life.
Yeah, it sounds like you're describing the Norse, the nine noble virtues as well, you know,
as a
code of conduct to live your life, to make things easier and respect others. Yeah,
it seems very much inherent in all human societies that observe paganism. I mean, for example in Japan, how they have Shintoism. I mean, Japan is quite a distance away from Europe, but the Shintoism, influenced the society there in a way that, like the samurai code of ethics is very similar to the European or the nine noble truths. So the nine noble truths or nine noble virtues?
Virtues,
virtues, right?
Yes, there are a lot of similarities as you have noticed between the, for example, the nine noble virtues which is using by different branches of Asatru with the Slavic ethics, because this is those two religions, the Germanic and the Slavic, came from the same root. So this is not a big surprise that the values are quite similar.
Now, I have to ask about the relationship to Christianity as well. What can you guys say about that as pagans and your relationship to Christians? Because there are a lot of Christians in Poland.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
My views on the Christianity is critical. I think that the pagans are better ideologically equipped to handle some challenges in front of which European people stands currently. So, for example, Christianity, this is the universal religion, not the ethnic one. So the Christianity assumes that everyone is the same in front of God, no matter who he is. And this is complete the Christianity. Only based on the principle of this religion is completely blind on the people heritage and identity other than the religious one. And for example, the paganism, like I mentioned previously, the paganism, this is the religion which grew with its people in the past. So it has to reflect ourselves. It is deeply embedded in our minds, and we can feel like we were in home when we have opportunity to find paganism and connect with our pagan self.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's connected to the thing about paganism is that it's enriching to the soul, so to speak. I mean, you are living on, you are preserving what might be the spiritual beliefs of our Neanderthal ancestors, possibly. I don't know if you've seen some of the scientific research that's come out or some of the archaeological research that's come out about the studies of Neanderthal religious practice And I mean, this wasn't, this is only something that's come about recently, because of course, just a few couple decades ago, it was just thought that Neanderthals were basically like beasts.
Yeah, dumb cavemen. And now, right, yeah.
Right, right. And now it's coming around that and specifically they've analyzed, and I mean, it's incredible, the kind of art that Neanderthals had created, that this wasn't realized sooner. But through analyzing this art, that, of course, Neanderthals were just as mentally developed as modern humans, and I would say certainly knew, certainly had higher mental capabilities than modern humans.
One question I always get to people who ask, who want to learn more about paganism, they say, well, how does it manifest in your everyday life? They basically want to know, well, what do I need to do to be a pagan? Because people are so used to religion, they have to go to church, or they pray. I mean, there's rituals around it, and people always need those kinds of rituals. So what would you say to a newcomer?
If someone want to start their way with the paganism, I would recommend start maybe reading and to gain some knowledge about the belief itself. But also, in my but of course, the person should not limit only to the learning. One of the most important things in pagans' celebrations, I would say, are the events, the rituals, which we held during the different time of the year. So paganism is based on the year cycle. This is deeply connected with our ancestral way of life, when their life was very connected with Earth itself, and their lives was ruled by the cycles of nature. So we, like our ancestors, are celebrating the different events during the different parts of the year. For example, during the winter or the summer solstice, on during the autumn or spring equinox, and there's a different and in many other celebrations, which came from folklore. A lot of those customs which we are celebrating today are hidden in the folklore, which have survived until this day. And by studying it, by trying to reconstruct those customs, we are forging the our what approach. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, I find too, being a pagan, those things, paganism seeps into even my modern life in terms of what I eat, what products I use, thoughts I think. I want to be as close to natural law, nature, biology, as connected to the earth as possible. And all of that does connect into politics, especially modern day politics. So, I mean, that's a big way that you can fuse that into your everyday life. It doesn't just have to be, I think, rituals. It is a state of mind.
Yes, yes, of course, yeah. I agree completely. I only focus on this part, which is visible to the public.
Yeah.
But if we consider our personal belief system, of course, it paganism have impact on us in everyday life.
In quite literal ways, yeah.
Yes, yes. And there are some overlaps of this worldview to the politics. But of course, it's not limited only to it. For example, maybe one of the most important thing is that the paganism is ethnic religion, and it means that this is deeply connected with the people's heritage, their identity. I have to feel being Slavic to be able to get everything which Slavic paganism can offer me. So
And I mean, it's the same feeling for me. Most of my family comes from Germany, and I feel more of a connection to the Germanic mm-hmm. pantheon. But it could just be that it's what I'm most familiar with. It's what is most put out by the media. But the I would say like the Slavic pantheon is something that is soon to see a reawakening. Well, as actually, what I've noticed in Slavic society is that these kind of the traditional culture here still very much reflects the past pagan practices, possibly without the masses really even knowing or acknowledging this. I mean, for instance, there is the ceremony of the, what is it, with the head wreath, where women will put this head wreath of flowers.
Oh, yeah. Yes, kupala, exactly.
And I mean, that's something shared both in Slavic and Germanic mm-hmm. paganism. I have like, I could get into some personal experiences. I didn't mean to.
Sure, no, share. Yeah. Control. How did you find your way into this?
I had quite a religious transition in my life. I was raised kind of Mormon Christian. When I grew to the age of reason, as as one comedian once put it, as George Carlin once put it, I started to explore Buddhism, but more in the philosophical sense. And eventually, I came to live in Portland, and I just started to develop after having traveled actually extensively for 2 years. I started to develop this keen interest in paganism and European society. And my neighbor just happened to be he claimed himself to be a shaman and a European shaman at that. And he would talk a lot about these two crows who would stay at his house, and I'd seen them around quite often. But of course, he named them Hugin and Munin. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I had my own experience with these crows, which I thought was quite interesting. I was walking to an appointment. Quite a distance, actually, from where my neighbor lives, of course. And I was being followed by these two crows, and they were, and I can't say it was these two crows for sure, but being that crows look quite similar to each other, but yeah. I was just familiar with their presence, and they were. Or one of them was swooping at me. I wouldn't say an aggressive manner, but coming quite close. But it wasn't the only thing that was odd. I also had squirrels following me, not on the ground. It wasn't like I had a parade behind me, but they were following my movements as I was going down, walking down these streets. They were crossing the wires, the tree branches, and just following me along, posting up as I went. And I found this quite strange, and of course related this experience to my shaman neighbor, and it just kind of went from there. And when I moved to here in Poland, I started to really try to observe my pagan beliefs and put them into practice. And there was this moment before I was, my mother was in Germany, and I was going to go and visit her. And for 3 days straight, before I went out to Berlin, I was praying to Freya. And when I found myself in Berlin and taking a blah blah car, have you ever heard of this service?
No.
So it used to be, it was formerly in Mitfargelegenheit. And I think they were bought by another company. And of course, that's a very complicated German word to say. So this now it's this blah, blah car service. And essentially you you offer your car as a Lyft option.
And
different strangers can say, well, it, you know, like everyone's going to pay a certain amount to ride.
Kind of like Uber or Lyft or something.
Yeah, kind of, but more of like it's more of a social thing. It's all strangers getting together to ride together in this car. And when I arrived to take this journey, I met the other members here who were going to go along with. And the woman I met, her name just happened to be Freya. And she was the passenger next to me. And sitting in the front passenger seat, his name was Frey, which is also another name for Freya. And these two didn't know each other. And just the coincidence of these two individuals being in my presence, I found it quite astounding.
It's bizarre.
And of course, yes. And it was just like, what kind of coincidence is this? The two individuals that, I don't think it's a very popular name these days.
It's starting to become, I think, nowadays.
Yeah,
it's getting a little more attraction.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so I was very taken back from this, and I didn't really know how to react. I was contemplating just trying to get some clarity in the whole car ride with this, with Freya sitting next to me and Frey in the front seat. And I realized that during the journey, I don't know, she seemed to be kind of smitten with me, but I didn't take the opportunity to explore that further. I wonder what would have happened if I did.
Yeah, you must be looking for a wife over there in Poland, right? I think a lot of guys are going over to Eastern Europe looking for a wife.
Of course. It's incredible. I rub it in the faces of my friends still living in the United States, considering, you know, the damage that feminism has done.
Now, they're not very feminist in Poland, are they?
No, but it's certainly, I would say, it's pushed by the universities here. It just seems to be that underlying subversive agenda. But the women here are just, of course, Slavic women are just incredibly, incredibly gorgeous. And it's just like, I would say that there is a high percent, a high per capita amount of women that would easily pass as models.
Yeah, of course. Tall and slender.
Easily.
Definitely.
Yes,
Well, I think this is a good time to get into metapolitics. A lot of our listeners are based Poland, you know, American nationalists look
Absolutely.
To Poland as the example. They see these marches, they hear about all these things happening. They say it's essentially an ethno state. So tell us about it. I mean, there's nationalists are in power right now, right? What can you guys tell us about the situation in Poland?
This is quite true, but this is not, the situation in Poland does not look as people in the West often thinks. This is just more complicated. We can say about the situation part, let's imagine that you have alt-right in power, and what you get is quite close to the current governing party in our country. So the nationalists are in power, but those nationalists are mostly civic nationalists. We still have a taboo based on the ethnicity and the JQ, of course. This is true that, for example, the anti-Islamism is a mainstream view here. So this is everything people talks about this. This is probably true. But this is not so easy as people in the West think.
Now you say anti-Islam, but are they anti-mass immigration? I mean, what do they think when they see all these migrants flooding into Europe? Do they get worried about becoming a minority in Poland, for instance?
Yes. When people, this is my anticipation of their views, when people see what is going in Europe, they mostly connected this with invasion of Islam. and they perceive Islam and those migration as the threat, which is based on their religion, which is quite different from us. They mostly they do not view this as the clash of different ethnicities, mm-hmm. which in fact it is, but rather on the religion. So, for example, I've heard some rumors that the current government it is turning blind eye on the fact that some private companies are taking some foreigners from deep Asia, for example, from Nepal or Bangladesh. And I don't know how many truth is in this, but I think this is, it could be possible.
I'd also like to add that in my personal experience, it seems like many of these civic nationalists or even Polish nationalists, ethno-nationalists, are isolationists, and they don't see the plight of Europe being something for them to be concerned about. I mean, I've heard the rhetoric of, you know, oh, we're going to have Polish babies, and it doesn't matter. I mean, this is like happening to our ancient enemies like Germany and Sweden, but you know, what's happening to them won't happen to us. And it's a terrible, terribly ignorant view, unfortunately, that that some of these nationalists have. But they do certainly take a strong stance against Islam. Mm-hmm. However, I believe that they are being widely deceived. And I think with these kind of, I mean, which is kind of expected to happen with these civic nationalist governments, that, you know, simply why Poland is not being inundated with as many migrants as Western Europe isn't just, I mean, isn't so much that Poland doesn't have these social programs available for these invaders to take advantage of. But that doesn't matter. I mean, from speaking with some of these migrants, is that, you know, this is, Poland is a much, you know, better, living in Poland is a much better life, offers a much better life than it does in their home country. So of course they're going to take advantage of trying to live here. And so what you have is perhaps the, I would say, higher echelons of those pushing the agenda of diversity, multiculturalism, see Poland as a country, and probably other countries in the same way, but as a country not ready for the throes of multiculturalism. And so they're trying to ease the general population into supporting the idea of a multicultural society. And they're, of course, doing this through the propaganda of movies and advertisements, music. And I can just from personal experience, I see it everywhere, to condition the Polish minds into eventually accepting a multicultural society. And then that's when I think you will see really the I mean, if they were to succeed in this kind of propaganda message to the public here, then you will see, of course, a much more multicultural Poland, unfortunately, because the current path here is just to let them in a bit more slowly.
You know, you're really crushing the hopes and dreams of a lot of American nationalists here talking about.
Absolutely.
They're based Poland, but we have to be realistic about it. Yeah, that's really unfortunate.
And it's not to be a black pill, because this whole situation is, of course, avoidable, but it's something that has to be spoken about, and it has to be something realized.
Now, if you were to go to Poland and say, you know, Poland for the Polish, and march the streets, how would you be received? Would people freak out on you? Or
not very well. This motto is won't be perceived as something nice, because it was directly this sentence was often used in the previous times, but by nationalists during the times when they didn't have so much allies in the government. And so this this particular sentence is loaded. But there are some attempts to just the just change the load of this term. But
if I may, I mean, this was one of the things I was very disappointed in the Independence Day March. I don't know if you want to talk about that right now.
Go ahead.
But Poland and Polish nationalists, I really, really need to realize the kind of international eye that is upon them, especially from the right-wing community. And I mean, like you said, you know, especially in the West, cheering on based Poland, we have two nationalists, two very large nationalist groups here. They are Catholic-based. I'm not quite sure if they're civic or, but they're mostly ethno-national, like these fellows here. That was ONR, and they decided, or all Polish youth had decided to, for last year, chant "We want God," and it would have been the most perfect opportunity in my point of view. But as Bartek pointed out, is that you know, Poland for the Poles maybe isn't so popular, but they could have taken advantage of this moment, because really we had quite a number of cooperations with different nationalist groups from across Europe coming here for this event. And I mean, the right wing world was watching and putting a lot of attention into this. And it was the perfect moment to, I think, call for an ethno state, or call for some something relating to this manner.
This is not so easy.
But it's not so easy.
But would you say, though, it's already an ethno state? They don't realize it, but they're living in it, because it's majority in Poland.
There is no state of protection. Right.
Okay. You know.
This is implicitly an ethno state.
Right. Right.
Yes, we are a very homogeneous society, but the people don't understand what threats comes with the ethnic diversity in the country. This is the dark side of the state.
Right.
And when I listen to the Westerners in the YouTube, the right-wing commentator, I have an impression that people in the West are largely aware what threat is to be living in diversified society. Polish people do understand that Islam is a threat, probably better than the people in the West, for sure better than the people in the West. But if you are living your whole life surrounded by the people like you, you can have the false impression that this is how all people in the world behave. For example, the first person of different race which I have met in Poland was when I was in high school. So this is how homogeneous this society is.
Right. And speaking of this, you know, the Poles recognizing the Islamic threat, I think that's another reason why the these higher echelons pushing for diversity and multiculturalism don't really target Poland too hard, is because you know, as it is widely known, there haven't been any terrorist attacks in Poland, and the mentality of Poles, if something like what happened recently in England regarding a nail bomb, a suicide bomber with a nail bomb at what is that?
Yeah, I can't keep up, but there's so many.
The Nicki Minaj. No, it wasn't Nicki Minaj. It was that
Ariana
English.
Grande.
Ariana Grande concert. Right. If something like that, or even much more mild, were to ever happen in Poland, the reaction would be incredible.
Yes.
The Polish people, and I think even Slavic people in general, are would immediately, I mean, the reaction would be intense.
Now, and, would they have this Do they have the same reaction to, I mean, America, for instance, just tons of anti-white propaganda, Sweden, Germany, you know, telling them that they're evil and they need to mix out and open the borders. And didn't you have any kind of those anti-white?
That's exactly what I was explaining, is that that propaganda is very much here. I wouldn't say, I don't watch television, so I can't say it's so much in television. But this, sorry, go ahead.
People here are not aware
what's in front
what kind of propaganda is in the West. For example, when I was talking to normies about how the ethnic tensions in America are rising, they refuse to acknowledge this fact. They are deeply concerned that the America just have some problems, and in the past it was worse, now it is quite better, but everything is on the good way to be solved.
Yeah.
And people are mostly not aware how the racial relations work, because they cannot see them in practice, because we are a homogeneous society. So people in Poland are generally not red-pilled regarding the race. They are red-pilled regarding the Islam. This is quite something different.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, again, regarding the propaganda, I mean, I don't think here in Poland they have the level of propaganda that they do on UK television. Mm-hmm. But like one of the gyms I was attending, I mean, it was all the music videos pretty much were all leftist propaganda messages, pro-immigration, pro-trans, pro-homosexual, pro-emasculation. All these kinds of messages, and it's on billboards, it's on advertising, it's on posters, advertising, using keywords like remix. If I could just finish on this one ad, this one advertisement campaign was, of course, only featuring a white woman with an African man,
of course,
and title remix across the front. And this is the kind of subtle imagery that is really missed by the masses, who aren't aware of the kind of tactics that they use.
Awful.
I don't feel that the situation is just as worse as you described. I agree that there are some leftist think tanks or organizations which are trying to push their agenda, but I have an impression that the government is on the opposite side of this. We can expect that each propaganda which will try to soften the our stance on Islam, for example, on the propaganda which will be pushing such ideas like feminism, or just this or the gender or something like this, will be opposed by the current government. I think they are sincere in what they are declaring, because if they weren't, they would be very quickly removed from the office. So a lot of this bullshit which you have on the West is in fact opposed by the government, but such ideas like ethnostate, or that the ethnicity matters, this is something which is still a taboo, and current government won't change this.
Come on, what can we do to get them there? Now, tell us, how strong is the left in Poland, and what about social justice warriors? What's going on that front?
I've met social justice warriors only once being here. This is one single case, so I think this is not very, very strong. We have a political party which could be described as social justice warrior party, and they are struggling to pass above the 5% of threshold. So this is
I think what's more of a concern is just the amount of centrists who don't really have an opinion either way, more so than SJWs.
Yes, SJWs are very rare here.
But I mean, like the centrists are easily will turn out for possible SJW funded events.
Maybe they will to some extent be interested in these events, but I'm optimistic regarding that the fact that I think we won't see the same situation in Poland which you have with the far left. It will be avoided, and I think the peak of it is behind us. I could say that the biggest attack of the left propaganda was about 5 years ago, just before the previous government have been replaced by the current one, because the people were so tired of this. Even they were tired of it, even if it was quite soft when compared to the West.
Now, why are so many Poles going to England then? What's going on? Why are they leaving so often? I mean, that's awful.
They were leaving. Now I have an impression that they are turning back. Maybe I'm wrong about this because I'm not following this issue.
I would say that statistics support that. Mm-hmm. I mean, unfortunately, I don't have any link to an article in front of me, but there is some evidence that's showing that Poles are returning from England. And I mean, I can just say from personal experience that compared to when I visited here 5 or 6 years ago, the economy is showing very promising improvement. Can this be sustained? Will it be sustained? It's hard to say, but the resolve of Polish economy seems to be pretty swell, and I would say that the opportunities here are growing.
I agree, but I agree with Asper have said that the most important cause which created the migration from Poland to England in the previous years was the economy. People were immigrating to England because they had more economical opportunities back then, but the situation is changing. Poland economy is quite dynamic. Since the fall of the communism, Poland GDP have risen.
Yeah, what? GDP.
GDP. Yes, have risen 7 times. So this is quite a big change, and this is still growing. As far as I remember, 2 years ago, Poland became more rich than the Greece, which is important because this was the country of the old Union, and Poland is currently struggling to be at the Portugal level of economy, or maybe we are above, I don't know, the details.
But I think also there is a large number of natural resource, or a large amount of natural resource. I believe it's natural gas or something.
Coal.
Recently,
if
no, not just coal. It was a big deal. Possibly worth. We're somewhere in the trillions, but it might be off the northern coast of Poland. I believe they discovered it in the sea.
Not exactly. This was the. You probably have in mind that I don't know how to say this in English. This is the gas. It was the new technology which was designed in the USA, which allowed to go to the
fracking.
Fracking, exactly. So this is probably this is what you have.
I will have to look that up. I'm sorry, Bjorn, mm-hmm. because I don't have a solid explanation mm-hmm. on that.
No, another thing I just saw, it was in 2018, we can go to my screen, the safest country for women in Europe is Poland. Now, does it have anything to do with it essentially being very homogenous?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, I have a friend here from France, and I can very much relate to this through one of the stories he gave me. I wasn't here during New Year's Eve, but he was telling me it was a scene that he would never see anywhere in France, where it's just drunk women celebrating out in the streets and
not worrying about getting raped. Yeah.
Right, and gaily engaging with men, and you know, and kissing and celebration. I mean, this was the same thing I also saw when I was in Estonia during New Year's Eve. And something that you wouldn't witness in Western European countries, for the most part, I would say. It's very safe, and for the most part, you know, people are very respected of each other.
Anything you want to add to that, Bartek?
I agree with that totally. I do not have enough material for comparison, but I think this is definitely true. I feel that the streets are safe.
Now, one thing that we didn't bring up yet was the Catholic Church. What is their stance mm-hmm. on migrants and what's happening, multiculturalism, diversity?
Mm-hmm. One of the most common misunderstanding which people on the West have is the situation of church in Poland. When I was watching your show, for example, I have noticed opinion that the Polish church is showing the way for the Christians, but it's not entirely true. The Catholic nationalists have a big problem with current state of the church, because here, church is openly against even the civic nationalists. There are various of examples of this. For example, in previous years during the Polish Independence March, was a tradition that in the day of the march, the church have been celebrating the Latin Mass, especially for the attendees of the march. And this current year, church said that they won't do this anymore because they do not agree with the nationalist agenda, and they think that this is unchristian to be nationalist, despite the fact that the march motto was "We want God." Also, the bishops in the Polish, the highest persons in the Polish church hierarchy are very often urging Polish people to take Islamic migrants. They can say in public,
especially the Pope.
And the Pope, yes, but even the Polish one, yes, I'm talking especially about the cardinals and bishops in Poland. For example, they can say in public that the Christianity moral imperative to be good to people is more important than national safety, and we should take the migrants, take the Islamic migrants. They try to create a project which was called the Humanitarian Corridors. This is the project which was supposed to be created by the church, and they want to bring migrants from the Syria to Poland and to settle them here. So this didn't happen because the government was against this. Also, Polish bishops openly criticize the nationalism. I remember one quotation from about 2 years ago that one, maybe the highest bishop in the Polish hierarchy, I don't know how his position would be called in English, but he said that the real Christians cannot be nationalist. Nationalist is the pagan thing. And this is a direct quotation, which I happen to agree. And Catholic nationalists are in very tough situations. What I see that they are looking for the Catholic traditions before the Vatican Second Council. They are trying to revive this spirit, and they are very criticizing the current state of the church. they are looking to for opportunity to change the tides, which I think would be very hard for them.
I don't like hearing this. It's too bad that the church has become so cucked. You know, it's bad. It's worse than secular people even.
Yes.
Well, they are a source for bringing in more immigrants. I know from some of the other students in the university that have volunteered with church groups to assist refugees with settling here in Poland.
Well, Poland's also been in the news for something else. Now, I know it's quite interesting. There was a recent video made in Poland, and I do want to get your reaction to this, but there's a new Polish law which is banning, you know, you can't say that Poland is responsible for the Holocaust. You can't say Polish death camps anymore. This has caused outrage. What can you tell us about this before we play this propaganda video that was just aired?
Enjoy.
This issue has a wider background. Because maybe I will explain this background briefly. For some years, some different commentators, political commentators, are warning us from the possibility that some Jewish organizations are seeking to seize the property in Poland, which was owned by the Jewish people before the World War II. And even that under the current Polish law, this is completely illegal to, if the heir of such owner will be able to prove that he's rightful, that he should own, for example, the house, which was owned before the war, but by his grandfather, etc. He's able to get his property back. But what those people are warning us about is that there's a big number of property which does not have direct inheritors. And in this situation...
In the billions, isn't it?
Hmm?
Value in the billions.
Yes, it is value in billions of dollars. In this situation, some people say that some Jewish organization are trying to advance the law which will allow them to inherit those properties in the name of those previous owners. So only on the basis of fact that the owners of some houses were Jewish, the Jewish organization want to claim this. And those organizations are seeking to have support from the American government. And recently, the new law has been enacted in the US. This is law number 447, Uncompensated Survivors Act. And this law allow the U.S. to be to support the international organization in restitution of heirless property.
Sorry, can I just repeat that for clarity?
Sure.
If anyone wants to look this up, that's S447, the Act for Uncompensated Survivors today, the JUST Act of 2017.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it's available at congress.gov/115-Congress/Senate-bill/447.
Okay. Okay. So we've gone through this. So, and those organizations will be able to push their claims easier if they will somehow connect Polish nation with the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
So the recently enacted law by the Polish parliament, which banned claiming that the Polish nation is responsible for the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
This law have created a backlash from the Israeli side, because even before the president and the parliament have signed this law, the Knesset have gathered and they have decided that when the Poland will pass this law, the Israeli will officially accuse the Poland for denying the Holocaust. So this situation is quite severe. And in my opinion, this film, this video you have showed us, this is the reaction of some Jewish influential organization into this law which have been enacted.
Let's watch it real quick in case people haven't seen it.
I'm gonna be locked up.
I wonder if they got beer in a Polish jail.
I'm gonna miss them when I'm gone.
No Polish jail can scare me today.
Ready? I'm gonna do it now.
3, 2, 1.
Let's go.
Polish Holocaust.
Polish Holocaust.
Polish Holocaust.
Polish Holocaust.
Polish Holocaust.
Polish Holocaust.
After 3.5 million Jews were murdered in Poland,
including hundreds of thousands of kids,
the Polish have approved a new law.
I will go to jail.
To jail.
So listen, Polish people. What happened during the Holocaust was enough.
Repeal this disgraceful law now.
Now. Now.
Now.
Now.
Who else can go to jail?
This will
for
never
the
again be silent.
Exactly. No.
Should suspend all ties with Poland.
It's funny, you know, this is funny.
Well, it's funny, they chose the most, also pretty much the most European looking Jews they could find.
Yeah, they
no hook noses there.
It's just funny. It's quite interesting how things mm-hmm. have turned. You have Jews that are saying we should be free to talk about the Holocaust and there shouldn't be laws mm-hmm. against it. And it's quite interesting when there are, obviously they're not talking about people in Germany who are in jail for questioning right. surrounding the Holocaust.
Right. Maybe Americans just don't know about that.
I mean, so how is this video being received by Poles? I mean, how many people are even seeing it?
To be honest, I didn't follow this this issue in details, but I'm quite sure that they will be offended in general, because a lot of people have some relative, for example, the grandfather or grandmother, which was involved somehow in during the World War II. We are learning in schools that the Polish were struggling to fight with the occupying forces of Nazis. And in fact, that the Auschwitz was the camp in two or the first year on the or the first 2 years the Polish the Polish resistance movements people were sent to this camp, and it was Jewish only after the 2 years after its creation or something like this, but I'm not quite sure. So the only reaction which I can expect from Polish people when they see this video will be a backlash. And as far as I know, this video was removed because the Polish people in large were opposed to this. This is what I've heard.
And also, you can just see with the end of this video that they're saying never deny, that they are equating this new law as Poland denying the Holocaust, and as you went into detail about. You know, if they push this agenda and they succeed, that this is a gateway to establishing possibly another Polish aristocracy. Another Jewish aristocracy in Poland with this advantage of billions of dollars of, can I say, confiscated lands? Or
confiscated is it's a good word.
I mean, and it's outrageous. They're demanding America to get involved, like America to do something immediately and cut ties. I don't know, is that because the Israeli lobby is so big in America or something? I mean, it's amazing.
Absolutely. And Bartek is right. I mean, just from just from this recent spat, and I really appreciate actually the arrogance of Israel in overstepping its bounds, really, because it's all going to come up in their face if they don't win this new propaganda battle, which I guess we'll probably find out by the summer. That they have this new mission, and really the reaction I've seen in public and from university students is, you know, like, you what with the sacrifices we made as Poles, I mean, this is a poke in the eye. This is you are spitting, this is the Israel's spitting in the eyes of Poles.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you think this law is going to go through? You could go to jail for 3 years.
It could be cancelled. As far as I am concerned about this right now, the parliament have signed it. The president has signed it. But after the president have signed it, he passed the law to the constitutional tribunal to make them check. Is this law not contradict the constitution? So I can interpret this movement as to be honest in a number of ways, but there is a possibility that they will create this backdoor for them, and if the Israeli will be pushing too much, they will be able to cancel this, yes, without the repercussions. And because most people are support this law, so they cannot say openly that they won't create this, but they will use. They could use fact that the constitutional tribunal would. Wouldn't accept this law as an excuse, but this is only the speculations.
Now, what really gets me is I see an article popped up today that Poland's Jewish groups say that Jews feel unsafe since new Holocaust law. I mean, do they really think that Poland's going to reopen these camps or something?
Exactly. Exactly, it's going to be another show up.
Yes. especially that the current government always seek to have a friendship with the Jews, and for example, the wife of our president is Jewish. So I do not believe those stance that they are that they feel unsafe.
And I mean, this is some kind of rhetoric. This is some kind of drum that they've been beating since this last Independence Day march. The Jews are feeling unsafe because of the nation celebrating its independence, and it was the safest march that had been on record, I think, recently.
The three previous marches were safe because those were held when the law and justice was in power.
Exactly.
A lot of people agree that the violence in the previous march was created by the provocateurs, and because 3 years ago there was so called the tape affair, some politics from the previous government was eavesdropped in the restaurant when they were speaking in some uncomfortable for them things, and two of them was discussing about the Minister of Internal Affairs, the person which held this office back then, that he had a conception, he had an idea to use the provocateurs to put the Polish independent march in bad light, and he was the author of idea of that some hidden provocateurs in the Polish independence march should incinerate the hat. I don't know how to say it. the guard hat, something like this, which stands before the Russian embassy to put the marsh in the bad light. So this is quite.
Yeah, I saw one. I saw one article here. They claimed that at this Independence Day march, there was some people yelling "Jews out of Poland" or something. It was probably like three people in the crowd of thousands or something, because they really focused in on that.
It's amazing that they could hear them over all the noise. I mean, I could barely hear the person next to me. That they must have like some serious audio equipment.
Yeah, maybe it was fake put there anyway. You know,
maybe.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for your time today. It's really great to get an update on Poland. I would like to have a better relationship with you Poles out there. So get in touch with us so we can know what's happening. All in all, though, you guys, are you hopeful for the future of Poland?
I am. I am very optimistic, despite the things are not ideal. But from my perspective, the things are generally going into the good direction. This is despite the fact that the Poland won't be red-pilled on the ethnicity and race for a long time, because we do not have, we
I
cannot be
it,
red-pilled
really.
By yeah. life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
But consciousness is shifting, and it's heading in our direction faster and faster.
It's because we are also we can adapt the idea from the West, for example. Some Polish organizations are under the influence of alt-right. There are not many of them, but something is growing.
All right. Well, if people are in Poland or people want to come visit, they want to connect with you guys or your group, how can they do that?
I would recommend to contact us by using our site on the WordPress, or find us our profile on the Facebook. And of course, if you are from Poland, especially from Warsaw, we want to invite you for our celebration, our pagan event. The next event will be at 24th of March in Warsaw. If you are interested, you are of course welcome to contact with us by our one of our pages.
Great, guys. Well, thank you so much. It's been a blast, and we'll stay in touch and talk again soon, okay?
Thank you so much for having us.
Yes, thank you for having us.
Again, don't be blackpilled by Poland. There's still plenty of good people there who reject cultural Marxism. They just don't know how good they have it yet. The majority of Europeans do not want to live in a borderless, multicultural world. As lefties try to do their evil voodoo magic on Poles, it's important that people like us are there to counteract the message, to help inoculate the people from the virus. Thanks to our members who make what we do possible. If you want to help support us, head on over to redicemembers.com and sign up for a membership to gain access to all our content, including our extensive archives. Your membership will help enable us to bring on more correspondents and contributors from all around the European world. It's essential in these times to have outlets like ours. See you on the next one.